Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Vitrons Logistics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and today we will be talking about what is probably the most challenging project in Vitrons history to date. Join us in Sweden at the retailer Axfood. Together with Vitron, they have built a distribution center that sets new standards when it comes to omnichannel logistics. The 103,000 square meter facility supplies more than 1,500 stores and many thousands of click and collect and home delivery customers every day with a wide range of over 22,000 products. A few facts: 30 kilometers of conveyor technology, 700,000 storage locations, and more than 200 stacker trains. Wow. Vitron has pulled out all the stops: OPN, CPS, all-in-one, DPS, and OPS. We are talking about dry goods, fresh convenience products, and frozen items. We are talking about temperature zones ranging from 18 degrees Celsius to minus 26 degrees Celsius. 1.6 million units, really, 1.6 million units leave the distribution center every day. This is truly, from my point of view, this is really truly an omnichannel distribution center, and we will learn more about it today. My guests are Raymond Lundmark from Axfood and Holger Weiss from Vitron, and now let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our logistics podcast by Vitron. My name is Robert Weber, and today we are going to talk about a very, very impressive warehouse project in Sweden. We already recorded an episode about the Axfood project, but now we want to go into technical details, and I invited two guests. Holger, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everybody.
He was responsible for the project on the Vitron side. And my second guest, I'm very grateful that you are with us, is Raymond Lundmark. Raymond, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Robert, and hello to everybody.
He is the Holger's counterpart at the customer side. Welcome, guys. I'm really looking forward to this podcast. Before we start talking about this huge project in Sweden, please introduce yourself briefly in, I would say, three sentences. Raymond, please start.
Yes, my name is Raymond Lundmark. I live in Sweden, and I am the logistic manager of Dagab inside the Axfood company.
Oh, you have to explain that. Yeah,
I will do that. But I've been working in this company group for the last 35 years.
So you know the company better than anybody else?
I would say so.
Okay. Holger, introduce yourself briefly. Three sentences.
My name is Holger Weiss. I'm project manager within Vitron, and I'm working now over 20 years within this company. I am responsible, or I was responsible, for the entire project, more or less from contract till final acceptance.
Wow. So what is Axfood, Raymond?
Yes, Axfood is a business group in Sweden that consists of retailers such as Willys. If you heard of that, it's a low-price retailer.
Oh, we will talk about Willys later, yeah.
Yeah, we have Hemköp, it's a traditional retail. We have Citygross, it's hypermarket. And we have also something called Snabbgross, that is food service. And to those retailers, we have Dagab, where I work, that is the company that handles all logistics and purchase in the Axfood company group. And Axfood is the second largest retailer in Sweden with approximately 25% market share. And even if it's a stock company on the Stockholm market, it's still owned by 50% by the Axel Jonsson family.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you have been there since 30 years, right?
Yeah.
How was Axfood's business change in recent years, and how must logistics react to this?
I mean, it's a lot about growth, handling growth, and our chain is quite successful. And given that, we need in the logistics to adapt to that.
Okay. We want to talk about Balsta today, a logistics center of records. There has never been anything like this before. Is it still right to describe Balsta as a warehouse, or is it a distribution hub, or maybe also call it a production site, Raymond? What is the best term?
I call it a logistics center.
Okay. And What logistics strategy is reflected in the logistics center there?
Yeah, but because when we start planning this, I would say the biggest driver was capacity.
Okay, so bigger, huge one.
Yeah, we were growing out our current warehouses. We need something else. And then when we go from capacity, we also look at quality. What do we want to improve? And when that was online, we talked about efficiency, meaning going from manual warehouses to more automated ones. And then, of course, we wanted robustness, meaning when we're going to build a logistics center like Bålsta, we always see that customer service levels comes first. So those were the drivers. But then what is maybe a little bit special, we saw the opportunity to create the omni-channel warehouse, meaning that we can fulfill deliveries to retailers, but we can also in the same warehouse use it for picking e-com, which is quite unique in at this scale.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the past. So in the past, there were a lot of different warehouses or...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Manual and there were not automated. Yeah. Big ones and some smaller ones. So.
Okay. And they were automated or not automated?
Not automated. Maybe some high bay or something, but not in the scale of this one.
So automation is a real new topic for you guys?
Yes.
Okay. So before you decided to go with Retron, did you visit different distribution centers? Normally you go there, I don't know, to the guys in Spain or in France or to UK. What was it like?
Yeah, we did it like that. We first decided what we were after. Then, of course, we did a kind of an RFQ, RFI process, looking at different solutions. Then we visited a lot of warehouses in Germany, in UK, in Norway, in the USA to understand what can we achieve after.
And why did you choose at the end Vitron?
I would say there were a couple of things. One, that we could see the omni-channel solution really being fulfilled. That's a good one. But also that we saw that every warehouse we visited where Vitron was, there was this robustness of delivery all the day, 24 hours, all the days in the week. And that's really what saves the customer service. So
it's more about robustness than speed?
Yeah, I mean, efficiency, speed is always on the site, but you need to trust in the solution also. And that we did with together with Vitron in a good way.
So Holger, 1.6 million units, more than 1,000 square meters. What does that do to a project manager?
I mean, you can imagine, you mentioned these huge figures, square meter and millions of units. I think you can imagine this will take some days to install, to assemble and to bring everything up to life. This means for me, as a project manager, you need a lot of patience over this long period of time. You need a good team, which you can rely on, which I had and which I still have on site. And every time on kind of plan B, because if something is not working as planned, you need to readjust. And I think this is very important. And furthermore, I need to mention here, we have this temperature zone. So we have dry, fresh, frozen, different phases, different activities at the same point of time. One area is in installation phase, other area is in commissioning, and the second or the third one is in ramping up the whole thing. This means, for me personally, you need to be close to the people, close to the system as much as possible on site to have this close contact, because this is for me a key success factor to be able to run through this entire journey. And one second important topic is the customer Axfood. So we had a very good relationship together, and you win just with one big team, and Axfood and Vitron is one good team, and this allows us to have at the end success for this project, because also you can imagine we have not every time sunny days, and that's why everybody need each other, and this was good.
So can you please share which systems are installed?
There are different systems, of course, our standard systems. So we have, of course, the main system is in all our temperature zones, the fully automation, our OPM technology. And of course, not each product can run over the automation. That's why we have also manual picking, like our CPS for the big stuff and, of course, the piece pick system.
What means big stuff? What is big stuff?
Now, big stuff, for example, cat sand,
okay,
oven wood. So okay, all these big things which cannot driven on a tray to the core machine. Then we have the piece pick system also for the small parts like lipstick or like these things. And we have, of course, this e-commerce section, which is new for us, for Vitron. So this omni-channel warehouse with all temperature zones. This was new and this was also implemented. So we have more or less retail, e-commerce, and we have the different pick subsystems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the material flow, because you mentioned it's very special. We are talking about an omni-channel warehouse, several temperature zones, and that means that the e-commerce business is in the same stock in one system. How do you implement this in terms of processes, but also technically, Holger?
Also the implementation was as we do a normal warehouse. So we installed also the equipment for the...
So it's not very special, the warehouse, or what?
It's not very special. So sequence-wise is... So we took e-commerce together with retail installation-wise. So we installed everything at once.
Okay.
But the difference was, of course, in terms of ramping up each part and each machine. At first was the retail part, all temperature zones, dry, fresh, frozen in a sequence, I would say 6 months in between each other. And the last section was the e-commerce part, home delivery. So this was the sequence in terms of ramping up. Building-wise, installation-wise, this was a combined activity.
Mm-hmm. Raymond, could you have imagined this before the project? Because e-commerce and retail in one system?
Yeah, I could imagine it, because that's what we together with Vitron really put to the design table, meaning that can we use the replenishment into a warehouse of full pallets for providing to retail stores, but still see, oh, now we have the goods inside the warehouse, even if it's in high bay, can we take it to a station when we can repack it and pick single ketchup bottle, milk, and so on. So that was really the idea behind the omni-channel warehouse, meaning that we can use the stock in the background and then choose what channel we put it out in.
Yes, the big advantage is, so we have more or less for each temperature zone, the highway warehouse is keeping all the stock for both businesses. So we have for e-commerce and retail, we have one highway warehouse, and out of this highway warehouse, we replenish in both directions, retail and e-commerce. And this, of course, is a huge saving in terms of investment, I would say, and keeps everything a little bit more generalized. Picking, different story. Picking is completely separated. Also, dispatch is a separate area, also physically. So here we have the split, but the stock keeping is common, and this is the big saving in terms of machinery and installation.
Let's run, guys, through an e-commerce order, and after we will do a store or retail order. Let's start with the e-commerce. I was a guest on your Willy's online store, and let's assume I need frozen peas, milk, dime chocolate, shower gel, and a Marvel mask, and some tea. So how do you handle this now, Holger?
I think this is exactly a very good question, because when you order, in worst case, out of the three temperatures, so because at e-commerce, we have also fruit and vegetables at plus 8 degrees. So this means we get out of these four zones, totes belongs to your order, and these totes need to be consolidated in our route shipping buffers. So the route shipping buffers are the opposite side of our shipping buffers, or the MDBs in retail. Out of these RSBs, route sequence buffers, we send out then consolidated the totes according the shipments and get loaded to the van.
Okay, so everything is now packed and it will be shipped then to me, to my home. Let's talk a little bit about the shop, when the shop orders. Is it the normal OPM process as everybody knows, or is there also a difference?
This process is, I would not say completely new, but the element, the dispatch racks for these totes are new, and this was designed for this e-commerce business. What is new in this is in the freezer environment. So we had this question, or we had a challenge. how we secure that the products which are picked in freezer, like pizza, Grandiosa, or something like that, when they are picked, how we keep the temperature to the house door, how we do this. The previous plan was dry ice, but dry ice is, of course, is a manual job, and guy need to stay there 24 hours and do this insert. So, and we developed together with Axfood, I think, a unique solution with an isolated tote and a lid. The lid is acting like a cooling pack, and the lid keeps the temperature for the goods on the way to the house door. And the lid is totally automated, lidded onto the tote. And the lid is, of course, frozen down in advance. So we have this lid in the warehouse, in the hyper warehouse, and freeze it for 2-3 days. And then we can reuse the lid. So this is a total environmental friendly process without dry ice. And I think this development is unique. I never saw such a tote and process before.
Okay.
It's an investment upfront, but as you say, dry ice, manual handling and everything is also expensive. So when we've done the investment and we get this turnaround, they come back with the cars, we freeze them in again, we use them again. So yeah, it's an investment upfront, but it's the smartest way to handle home delivery frozen. Because a lot of e-commerces, retailers often step away from the frozen because they don't know how to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You mentioned a wide variety of load carriers in the process. Couldn't it have been solved differently, Holger?
I would say not, because this was a clear requirement from Raymond / Axfood. So we have.
Why is it so important for you, Raymond?
I don't see that we have so many load carriers, because the pallet we pick on is a plastic pallet, quite environmental good because it's circular and it sticks for a lot of years. So that's the main volume going out on pallets. But then we have stores where you really can't get the pallet in through the store door, meaning delivering to the smaller stores in the middle of the city where you need those roller cages, because that's the way to get it to the customer. So we needed at some point a possibility to pick into roller cages. And that drives, of course, the second load carrier that we have. And then in the freezer environment, we pick on pallets a lot of freezer goods because we drive them in freezer cars. But in some distances in Sweden where we drive along, we might need to drive them in chilled environment. And then we need to pick frozen goods into Tikkates. And that's why we pressed also Witron to build a solution where we don't have to repack this, just pick it on pallet and put it then manually in, and which we have succeeded with. And that's really a good solution. So I would say we have these three load carriers that goes out of this facility.
Holger, you want to add something?
Of course, we have the main volume is on pallets. This is totally right. Yep. But of course, we have these dependencies. Subsystem, one system is waiting for the other. So we have our tote from the all-in-one, which is needed for a retail order. So we have dependencies. So that's why it's so important that each subsystem is working as intended and to meet the departure times or the production time, to not delay something in the entire process.
Mm-hmm. Raymond, can you please summarize what the new plant or the logistics center means for your company when it comes to speed? You mentioned robustness. Can you share some business figures or to supply chain topics? Can you summarize the whole project?
Yeah, no, I won't share any business figures. But I can say we have built Bålsta to be able to handle growth into the future. And then we have built Bålsta also, of course, to be efficient, meaning that going with this kind of high automation in our point of view, we also see that we get efficiency. But it's not just efficiency, it's also quality, meaning that if we want a pallet to be pack pattern calculated and picked in a store-friendly way, we can teach the machine to do so, which is quite unique, because otherwise you need to teach 200 people to do exactly the same at every time. So I would say quality, efficiency, and then of course capacity is the drivers behind this.
So I know you invested in the all-in-one system, omni-channel logistics. How strong is the e-commerce business in Sweden, in your region? How is the growth developing?
Yeah, I would say historically it has been down to like a couple of years ago, 2-3%. And then during the pandemic, it really grown up a lot, but then it fall back a little bit after the pandemic. But in Sweden, I would say it's around 4-5% of the total turnover. And for Axfood, it's approximately 5%. That's what we say in our business review for last year. And it has grown a lot of in Willys, that is our low price brand, because and in Willys, it's have been a huge growth in click and collect, meaning that you as a customer, you order on site, we pick it, but you collect it in cupboards, often near to the store where you can drive up your car and just go in the cupboards. That has been the biggest development of e-commerce in the last couple of years.
Okay. I already mentioned we already recorded an episode with Niklas Pettersson. He was our guest a few months ago, and he is now responsible for the whole labels. And he said at the time that Witron Axfood had fulfilled a dream. Now the dream is becoming real. Is that still true? And what are you dreaming of now? What is the next dream, Raymond?
Yeah, and I would say Niklas is the CEO of Willys nowadays.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's your customer now.
Yeah. So he was part of this when we started this, and now he is our customer, meaning that he is on the receiving end of what we produce. So to answer your question, I can't really relate and comment what Niklas is dreaming about.
But what are you dreaming about?
Yeah, but from my point of view, I can say at this point now, I'm so proud of what we, and then I mean Axfood and Daga, where I work, have done together with Witron. Because we have also created this, built it, set it in motion, ramped it up during a pandemic, during a starting war in Europe, in Ukraine. It has happened a lot in the environmental around us the last couple of years, but still we have had time schedules. We have moved into this as we want to. Of course, as Holger said, stuff has happened, but really, really proud of how we together have made this happen. It's an impressive solution. It's an omnichannel, which is quite new. I would say this has never been seen before.
Never have seen before in Sweden or never seen before in the world?
I have never seen it anywhere. So if anybody listens to this and prove me wrong, please call me. But it's really unique. So it's an impressive solution. But then you ask me, what do I dream of?
Yeah.
And then I mean, we're not home safe yet. Now we have built it, we have moved in. Now we have a great work on my side and our side to fine-tune, to raise the bar every day, to achieve new goals in efficiency, in quality, so we get this customer meeting that we're really fond of. So that's really what I'm striving for right now.
Okay. And Holger, please summarize the project in one sentence.
Yes. Maybe challenging, but I try. I think this was a journey with all the challenges you can get. As Raymond mentioned, Ukraine war, material issues. But at the end, I would say with our very strong relationship with Axfood and team, they are really nice guys there, which was helping us when we needed them. With all this thing, I think we came proud of what we have established there and what we did. And we are not finished. So the fine-tuning is now started. So this is exact now the phase. So when everything is more or less done, then we're starting with fine-tuning and we're looking for that. So I think the most impressive project what I did so far, biggest
more than one sentence now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But what you are dreaming of now?
I am dreaming, of course, maybe there is another chance in Sweden to do some stuff. And I am dreaming of having good benchmarks in Boister each day, improve the system and drive records on a regular basis to have really also from the customer that they are happy.
Thanks, guys. It was very impressive to talk to you about this huge project. All the best for you and congrats to this project. Thanks a lot, Raymond. Greetings to Sweden.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Holger.
And thank you, Holger, and greetings to Packstein.
Thank you, Raymond, of course, and thank you, Robert, for this call.